Welcome back to episode 7 of the Ultra Bros. I'm Valentin.
I'm Constantine.
And today is going to be a shorter episode, mainly because we need to get back to work. Schoolwork, that is. But, you know, something we've been talking about, like, over the course of this week, something Constantine will talk about was jobs. So we were we're going to talk about, I guess, because that's something we've kind of both been anxious about over the past few days. So we thought that would be an interesting thing to talk about.
I could just start by saying that I feel that's crazy because it's, you know, you do a master's, and this is the master's is 1 year. It happens so fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, for those who don't know, which I'm assuming is all of you, Constantine, who is 22, is finishing up his master's.
Yeah, no, so I think why I started thinking about this is, it happens so quickly, especially that it's all basically happening within COVID, mm-hmm. which makes it feel like
it's... Yeah, because you started your master's during COVID. Doesn't seem to finish, so you'll probably finish during COVID, and... Oh my God, you missed your undergrad graduation.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to have a master's.
I don't really care about that too much, to be honest. But it's more like it's just happening so fast. I can still remember when I was applying to it when I got into the program. Now it's like you're halfway through. It's like, wow, that was fast. You still have half the material, you know, half the program to go through. So mm-hmm. you would expect you have half the more material to learn, you know, and now already you're, I've started applying to places. It just feels so, in regards to like, in terms of this work, like an undergrad is, you know, you do 4 years and it's like at the fourth year, you know, it's when you start looking for serious jobs. Once you graduate, you have your co-ops. But, I guess just for this master's, I don't know if it's just, it's coming all.
Yeah, cause you started in September, so I'm guessing
I'm halfway.
6 months in, and you're already like planning as if you're finishing, right?
Yeah,
you're already
looking for jobs. Like, I feel like I'm already trying to sell
and you
myself.
Only started 6 months ago.
I have all these skills, which I'm still in the works.
Yeah, that's true. That is pretty quick.
And it's just so stressful because it's like you start to realize that, wow, all my life up to this, as like all my education, the point of this was to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only purpose of this. It wasn't to find somebody. It wasn't to learn how to play, learn a new skill. It's literally just to get a job.
Yeah,
just
that's true.
To be able to function in society.
That's the interesting. I'm pretty sure that's kind of the only reason people go to university. You know, like when you look back, back in the day when university started off. People went to university to get educated, you know? You went to university because that was, like, your goal. It's like, you're not going to university because, like, now then I'll be chosen by the king to be his squire, you know? That wasn't going to do anything. You went to university to, like, I mean, usually to be a priest, I'm guessing. But you just went to go educate. Whereas now, I don't think our generation, I don't think anyone goes to university because, like, I want to learn. It's like, nah, I mean, because I know that without this, it's impossible to get in the workforce.
It's just crazy. You know? Obviously, you can't, I'm trying not to think too much about it. It's like, whoa, this is a big moment. This is a big transition. Yeah. You know, all my life I've been studying at school.
In 6 months, you're going to be kicked on your ass.
Now I'm not.
Welcome to the world.
I'm going to get a sip of the real, of the, you know, how it really, really is. And it's like, you don't want to screw up. That's the number one thing. It's like you want to look back like, oh, that was a mistake. Because there's so many options. That's another thing. I feel like I'm the type of personality where it's like I love attention, which is not a great thing. I have to be really careful when I'm like applying to these jobs. It's like, okay, what job am I gonna be the best fit in? Versus what's a job that would look really cool like on a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have to really make sure that I pick a job that makes me happy. I think it's probably true. Anything like I have to really focus like, oh, okay, is this a job? Is this something that I'm doing just because my friends probably. So my friends have this job, and just would sound yeah. it would sound cool to say. Or am I doing this job because I feel like I could actually do be I would be happy mm-hmm. doing this role, and I could be able to do it well. So it's like I feel like I'm also because of my personality, I have to be really, really aware of that. But
well, I feel like the reality is you'll probably just learn that as you go, right?
I don't know, but let me just start with getting a job first. Like, just,
getting a job.
One step at a time.
That's one thing that I've been thinking about lately, because it has been, you know, I think a lot of people are probably really anxious about that. I mean, I think we're all usually anxious about that, but particularly now because of COVID, because I'm guessing most students lost their jobs. I mean, we lost our first usual job, got another job, lost that job, you know, both because of COVID. And then we're just kind of like, okay, you know, I guess we'll just chill. And I think, I mean, this might just be me. This might be completely not based in any kind of fact at all, yeah. But I do feel like the job market, and this might just be my impressions from, you know, little tidbits I've read or seen or whatever, mm-hmm. my own fears, but it seems like the job market for our generation is a lot different. I mean, I guess it's a lot different than it's been in previous generations, you know?
You said this to me before.
Yeah, I mean, I know I say this a lot.
I don't think it really matters. It's like, I think I know your point. You can explain it, but...
Well, that's a good point that you said. It doesn't matter, you know, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's different. It's just a reality. But, you know, you read about all this stuff about how, like, in the past, and by in the past, like... two generations ago, you know, you got a university degree, and then with just that degree you got a job at a place, and then you stayed at that place until you retired, you know. That was kind of that was like the way for most people, and that one job, you know, gave you enough for you to actually like raise a family and you know have a comfortable life. Whereas now I'm not sure that's so much the case anymore.
I'll let you know about
that's true. But I feel like now even if you do have, first of all, I think everyone knows that, you know, just having an undergrad degree doesn't really do anything.
You say anymore. That that's not true. That's I know so
is
many
it not?
No. It depends. It's like if you do something in like it just depends on the program, depends on the school you're going, depends on your grades. Mm-hmm. It's like it's such a case by case thing. It's because I want, like, as much as that sounds, it's easy to say, it's like I know so many people that are just fine without a master's, and it's like, but every case is different, right?
No, I guess that's true. I do repeat that a lot. It's probably a good thing that I try to reconsider that.
Well, I've just
no, that's so a good point.
It's just fine.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I don't really think of it that way. But actually, something else that we have looked into, which I thought was interesting, is like there's these ideas of a network marketing, which is pretty much you have like a small little business that you kind of do on your own, and the way you usually like you're selling some kind of product, and the way you go about doing that is you like you don't really hire people, but you get people to kind of be part of your team to sell this product along with you, and then you make like a small portion of money off what they make, and they obviously keep most of the money they make.
I think the key it's just having multiple streams of income.
Well, just to finish up that whole point, we've heard a lot about that in the past maybe year or so, and how you hear a lot of these people, especially now with like the current reality, it seems a lot more, appealing, because you no longer have to rely on an employer, right? It's not like a startup, so you don't have to go through like the, you know, the pains of creating like an idea, you know, developing something that doesn't exist, or creating a, you know, a business, you know, which is obviously, I'm assuming pretty hard. it's more like you join like some kind of company that already exists, not really, that has a product, and then you just build a team of people who sell that product, you know, and that's pretty much it. So you don't build anything. You take something that already kind of works, and then you become part of their team to develop it. And then, you know, depending on how many people you get underneath you to do the same thing, then, you know, you don't really have to rely on anyone. You just rely on yourself, which sounds like a pretty great deal, because no matter what happens, you know, all you need is kind of like an internet connection, and you're able to support yourself.
Well, I think the idea is that I think the cool principle behind that, and just like starting the whole idea of starting your own thing, your own business, is that your the amount of money you make is really just determined by how much work you put into, which is a cool concept and not something that, you know, you would kind of experience if you go to like some 9-to-5 job, mm-hmm. at a bank or some tech company. Yeah, so just the idea that, you know, the amount of money you can make is basically to a certain extent dependent on just how much work you put in, and there's no limit. That's the cool part. It's purely, you know, the validity of your process and your discipline and how much work you want to put in, and that gets reflected in your rank. So that's a pretty cool concept, mm-hmm. that I think is picking up. But obviously it's not for everyone, right? Because it does work. It's obviously, you know, it's easier said than done. But I think it's just important to realize that, because, you know, who doesn't want to, the cool thing about making money is just the freedom associated with it. And I think that's what everybody wants. But I think everybody can be happy with different levels of freedom, you know, and their happiness is defined by a lot of things. Some people it's, you know, it's more material. Other people it's just the people they're around. So just being aware of that and then just working towards that, and I think you're fine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I definitely overthink things, and I think I'm better off just going through it and then just failing, and then just like, oh, okay, that wasn't a great idea, or that was. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'll overthink it to the point where it's like this is just hurting me at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
I think a decision and move on.
Yeah, I think that's something that most people can definitely relate to. And I think that's another cool thing. You know, I think, yeah, obviously we all overthink things. We all make poor decisions. But at the end of the day, I think your like decisions and your experiences kind of, they become like your teacher, and they point you in the right direction, you know? Yeah. So you can like mess up and make mistakes. And I think, you know, you might think you're in a position where it's like, oh, you completely lost, which, you know, I guess can just happen for some people. But,
everything, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you just kind of accept that your experience is the thing that teaches you, then it's not, then, you know, it helps keep things more in perspective. Yeah. So it's not like I have to figure out the solution and then learn, like I have to learn now what I need to do, and then I have to do that. It's more like just do what you can,
yeah.
and learn from what you can do,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to embrace the journey, and I'm just acknowledging that it's so long, and it's just, wow, this could be really long. It's like, if you look at life, it's so well, here's, you know, I don't want to segue into something too crazy, but like I was thinking about relationships, right? How the big idea that so many people are getting divorced. I'm sorry, this is such a...
No, honestly, I mean, we did this recording very last minute, so we didn't have time to discuss about a structure.
It's fine, you don't have to tell them. Man.
Right.
Something I've been thinking about. Sorry, so the idea of that, like most, like almost like what, some crazy high percentage of marriages fail, right? Some crazy number, right? And you wonder why is it so high? Because nobody walks into a marriage saying, oh yeah,
that's a good question. Why is
everybody goes into marriage saying like, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person? Everybody says
that's a great question.
Everybody wants that. Who doesn't want that? Who wants to get divorced at one point? Yet like 50% of people who are in the mindset end up getting it wrong. So I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Papa about this. It was interesting. And I think what we agreed on is, you know, it's because people change, and that's where you're rolling the dice, right? Because right now, obviously, you're getting married, everything's aligned, right? You're you and this other person are just like on board, on parallel with a lot of things. It's going well, a lot of important things. But I guess what you sort of, is you gamble that like over the period of like 10, 20, 30, 40, you know, plus years, that you're both going to change significantly. Like life is going to slap you around, right? Shit's going to happen to you, right? It won't be pleasant, most of it. And well, hopefully it'll be pleasant, but you know, some of it will be severely unpleasant, and then that's going to shape you, right? You're not going to be the same person you were when you were 25, when you were late 20s, right? Where you're just at the cusp of life and just enjoying and just this. And then, so you're obviously going to change, you know, life is going to, it's going to go at you depending what type of person and what experience you face. You're going to change into a different type of, you won't maybe drastically change, but there's definitely some things that will evolve in you. And that's happening to two people, right? You're going to evolve, this other person's going to evolve. So I guess you're gambling on the fact that you're hoping that you have enough things linked together that as you evolve, you kind of evolve in the same direction together. Right. One person is involved like whoa, like up here, and the other person revolves around here, and it becomes like we're completely different now. It's like this, we're not in sync at all.
Yeah,
so it's like you're gambling on the fact that okay, I'm hoping that 20, 30 years down the line we're evolving, we end up like, you know, experiencing certain things, and we kind of react to them and shape ourselves, and that doesn't kind of grow apart.
I feel like if that's what happens, like if that's the reason for why you divorced, then you probably married for the wrong reason, you know? Because I feel like if that person changes and then they just like, you're on a different path than me, you know, we're not looking for the same goals. And I'm guessing that means the reason you married that person in the first place was because like you are like me, you know, like you married that person, not because you love that. You married that person, or the thing you loved about that person is that they are similar to yourself and they want the same thing, you know?
Okay.
So it's like what you're really marrying is their goals. It's like, oh, you want to do that? I want to do that.
But I'm
you want to do this? I want to do this.
I'm saying goals like might change.
Yeah, but the thing is, I feel like if you marry someone for the right reason,
what do you think
if
is the right
their goals
reasons?
Change? I mean, okay, I don't know.
Real quickly, we're
but
at the top of your head.
I'm gonna, you know, shooting in the dark here from my many years of experience. I'm gonna say that, you know,
just
I thought
it,
I would have something.
Just say it. Just say it.
I know. I think, you know, I'm just gonna say things and something good will come out. I think it might, you know, you want to marry someone because you genuinely love like who that person is, despite of like the outside. So. You don't fall in love with what she wants to become or
who
she wants to be or what she's doing.
Yeah.
You fall in love with who she is. So if you took away everything about her, her job, her career, family, everything, and then you just end up with her, like you were in love with that.
Yeah.
Or whatever that is. So I'm guessing because if you love that person, well, if all of a sudden she wants to do something else, then it's like you didn't lose the thing you loved. Whereas if you, the fact that you want to become a lawyer. I love the fact that you do this. Well, the moment she no longer wants to be a lawyer, like, well, I don't love the things I loved about you are gone.
You know? I'm just like, I think.
So that could be one thing.
That makes sense. But what about the other things? What if you, like, it's like you, like, I think we've kind of changed around, I mean, around fourth year. You kind of, your mentality started to change.
I definitely changed a lot.
Like, that could happen, right? What if somebody starts becoming, so it's like, and so it's like, well, what?
But then it's a shame because then what you're saying, if that's the case, like let's say we both change, and then we like no longer have a relationship, then what that means is like we loved what the other person did for me, you know?
No.
That would say that the only reason I loved you when I was young was because of what you did for me. But now you're different. You can't do that thing for me anymore. I don't love you anymore. So it's like, so I never loved you.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
That's tough to apply.
This could be total full of bullshit.
No,
I
know.
But you know what I mean? I mean, I might like think about this tomorrow or in 10 years and realize, wow, what a foolish young boy. I probably, you know, probably is. But, you know, it's fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's such an interesting point. You marry someone. Like, that's a big
decision.
I feel like we don't appreciate what that means.
Yeah.
Here's a person that you didn't grow up with.
Yeah.
Completely separate. You live separate lives. It's a different human being. And then out of how many billions of people on the earth, you decide you want to live this one person?
Until you die.
I mean, I feel like that by itself, that doesn't properly explain what a huge decision
it is to marry someone. I think it's a beautiful thing.
But it's just interesting. So you went from that decision. You went from marrying someone, which is huge. And then a few years later, you divorced that. Like, what changed for you to go from those two points?
Yeah.
Was it, you know, and that you hear like such, I mean, well, actually, I don't know. I've never heard anyone talk about me about their divorce. But I'm guessing from like movies, it's like, I don't know. It just became a different person. But like, what are you talking about? What, you know?
But it's true. It's like sometimes you don't even need like life-changing experiences.
Like, did he get like a coma and then he came up and is like, my name's John now?
No, but I was talking to this one girl. This is,
you know?
This is sad.
So what does that even mean?
This is sad. Her, she was a single child. Her parents were married 20 years or something.
20 years?
And then they got divorced.
That's even crazier.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Because it's like, first of all, when it's like, did you want a divorce like year five or like to do that for the kids?
Yeah, exactly.
Or was it like riding high? Then year 19, I was like, you know what? That's behind me.
And then we were talking about it, and she said like it was because she thought, obviously, I'm sure she didn't say school, but because like they had different personalities.
Like what?
Wait,
but. See, I think anyone listening, how confusing is that? So, you've been married 20 years, like, we just weren't compatible.
It's like, what? Something's changing, right? So it's like, there's something that changes. And I think that what you're gambling on is that you changed and you don't.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to happen. You know that's full of crap.
What?
You will change. The odds that you change the same are impossible.
Well, no, like, you know what I mean, but not to change the same, but like, you know, like,
so I think you can gamble. I mean, or you can probably look for something a bit more solid. You know, like, well, I'm really hoping in 20 years when I go through my bowling stage, you'll go through that same stage.
No,
because otherwise, no. I'm gonna have to look for someone else.
So I guess you have to look for something who's really stable, which is, I guess, why.
No, not even stable, but someone who changes, but.
No, but like mature, like somebody who's.
I don't know.
I don't even know. Like, maybe look at their
parents. Or maybe the things that are important are things that don't really change. You know? Like, let's say you still like their goals, but let's say you don't like something like, I like the fact that you're pursuing this kind of career path. Obviously, that's not a good reason to marry someone, because that's guaranteed to change.
That's 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially but maybe something like...
or it might not, but probably.
I don't know.
Like, I love my family.
I love you because...
Maybe family's really important. But that could change too.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's... I mean, again, I mean, this. It's funny that we're talking about this.
I know.
But I think, marry someone...
Yeah.
I would want it to be because I can't explain it. I feel like if I could explain it, then I probably shouldn't marry her. I said, why are you marrying her? Well, you know, she's 6'3". She has a... she has a
great credit score.
She has a personality type where she's about, you know, 43% extrovert, rest introvert, perfect balance. You know, I feel like if I can explain why I'm marrying this person, that's probably not a great thing.
I really like that.
But if it's like, but then at the same time, if you can't explain it, maybe that's not so great either.
I don't know.
Because like, what do you marry? I just need to. No, you won't need to.
I feel like I want to be in the place, and this is going to be fine because I can maybe, maybe hear this in the future. But it's like, I feel like if, I think it's from the movies I've seen, and probably this is how I'm, but it's like, if you can't really explain it, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I something that just came to my head, I don't know if any of you guys have seen South Pacific.
Oh, okay.
But there's this guy, I mean, he's like a Frenchman. He's like in his 50s. He's hitting on like a 25-year-old. It's an old musical. But he's singing her this song. It's a great song. And in it, he says, you know, fools give you reasons, wise men never try. You know, so this whole idea, like, you want to know why I'm in love with you? Well, some fool will be like, oh, I love you because of this. Someone who has more experience will be like, I don't even know why.
Say it again.
Fools give you reason.
Yeah.
Wise men never try.
Huh.
So
So maybe that,
I don't know.
Maybe there's something there.
Maybe that could be the
Okay. Well, one thing that I think a concept. Now I don't know where we're getting, but okay, you know, it's like, do you want to get to the point? I think this is from a movie, right? It's you'd rather be miserable, live the rest of your life with some with this person.
Oh yeah, this is a casual fun.
Casual fun. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I'd rather be miserable with you on a park bench than rich with anyone else.
Or like happy with somebody else.
Yeah.
Which is
Also confusing.
It's so confusing, but cute.
That person makes me happy. You make me miserable. Then you're the one.
Yeah, I choose you.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I guess it's probably one of those things that you figure out as well. I was going to say you figure out as you go, but
it's like,
I don't think anyone wants to be in multiple marriages.
Yeah, it's like third time to try.
Wow, you've been divorced 5 times. That was hard. No, it's great.
I'm learning so much.
Every time I understand why I hate them and I don't do that mistake again. I always do a different one, but, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Be great to avoid that.
You know, then on the other hand, for those kind of people out there, there's also the possibility that, you know, you meditate and then you just manifest the perfect person for you.
There's a book I remember that was like on Bill Gates.
I'm totally serious about that.
there's a book I think that Bill Gates wrote. Not wrote, but read, and he recommended it in like his book or something called The Rosie Project. I might be quoting it wrong. Essentially, it's a book about, I think it's like a fiction. It's like a love story about how this guy has a list of all the things that describes the perfect girl for him. All the things he looks for in a girl. And then he meets this girl that doesn't meet any of those things. But basically the end of the story, it's like they fall madly in love.
That's
the end of the story. It's just like, I feel like sometimes like you just, I don't know, maybe I'm just a romantic, but I feel like that's a cool, you want it, like it's so true. You don't want to be like.
But then there's the other thing. Yeah. I remember reading something by this poet called Wolfgang von Goethe. And I think you read the same thing.
He sounds German.
Yeah, he is German. And I think you read the same thing about Washington. And one thing that he was saying, funny enough, Goethe is probably one of like the greatest greatest romantic poets.
Oh, is this the guy who wrote the book that...
The Sorrows of Young Werther. Yeah, actually, just to give you, to tell you how good he is.
Okay, well...
There's this thing. Okay, well, maybe this isn't perfect. That. But just to... there's this thing called the Werther effect. Which this became, you know, actually, we're not going to talk about this because I feel like it might be a sensitive
topic. It's a bit sad, yeah.
But he's
a very powerful
writer. Yeah, he wrote a book about a tragic love story. And let's just say it was so popular that the book, you know, a lot of people who read it did not end up so well because it's such a tragic story.
Yeah. What's the story? Just really quickly.
I mean, it's pretty much... So there's this... I don't really... Well, actually, the main character is called Werther, obviously. And he falls in love with... I forgot what her name is, but with this woman. But she's already married to someone else.
Uh-huh.
Long story short, you know, he can't deal with that. I mean, she only... Oh, you know, I should probably... I was going to say I should go back and read it, but then I shouldn't.
But
long story short, you know, he ends up taking his life.
Wow.
And that the story, and this was written a time ago when that was, you know, still hugely taboo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it had a pretty incredible effect on the readers of its time.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was. Oh, yeah. But this writer who was known as a romantic poet, later on in life said that you should never marry for passion.
Oh God.
That's the worst thing you should do.
Yeah.
He's like, always marry for practical reasons. So marry a person that you look at the way they live and you'd be like, you know what? I would be totally fine living with this kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, going day to day, doing mundane work. There's not really passion. It's just very, it's like a very pragmatic kind of relationship, And then, you know, you learn to have affection, appreciation, and love for another. You mature into a loving relationship.
I read something very similar. I think I told you already.
Yeah, you did.
I was reading about Washington, and he was giving
George Washington.
Yeah, George Washington. He was giving advice to, I think, his nieces and nephews about how to navigate their relationships. And like these are like documented letters that, you know, are conserved, preserved. And basically his whole advice stemmed on, it's like, you want to leave emotion at the door. You want to marry for practical, reasonable reasons, you know, like don't marry for love, right? Marry for things that, you know, make sense. And then I don't know, like you want to say like, that seems a bit.
No, I think that's fantastic.
Well, it's fine. Well, then you look at the man had a great marriage.
Man,
for on paper.
Well, I'm sure it must be great being married to someone like George Washington. That guy seems so stable. At the end of the day,
it's a great point.
You marry someone who's like that, just like in charge of himself.
So
control,
stable.
Then it's like, you know, that kind of person doesn't create issues. Anyway, but I think that's such a great point because, you know, unless you're like emotionally unstable.
Yeah.
Which I mean, obviously it is a common thing to be emotionally
unstable.
We're
all a bit emotional.
Yeah, of course. But unless you're emotionally unstable, you can be in a relationship without passion. You know, it's usually people who are emotionally unstable, who have like a lot of self-love issues that need that huge passion.
Yeah.
Right? They need tell me you love me, like, you know. But don't just, you know, tell me, you know.
Scrap it, goddammit.
It needs to be like, it needs to be so intense because they're like so, you know, filled with, hate, fear, you know, no self-love. So they need this enormous influx of passion and emotion.
I'm sure,
you know?
And sometimes some people need it just, I think it's a fine line because I think.
Yeah, I mean,
some
obviously.
People just need, it's nice to have affection.
Yeah,
right?
Some
people just need.
For sure, there are some people who need more affection than others.
But then there's a fine line between like
exactly,
I need to function.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously unhealthy not to be passionate. I would say, you know, I think any extreme is unhealthy. You
That's
know,
true, yeah.
It's unhealthy to be completely unemotional. It's also unhealthy to be completely emotional. You know, you need to find
extremes,
that balance.
Yeah, I agree.
Any extreme
absolutely.
Is always unhealthy and at your detriment.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing, like. I think you can have one relationship where it starts off passionate, so in love and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously that will fade. I mean, you know, I think no one is so
if it doesn't
stupid to think that it doesn't. Even at our age, we all know no one's that dumb. I mean, you have to be very delusional to think that that will always last.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Love does make you delusional. So you know what? That's not surprising that most of us feel, you know, as soon as you're in a relationship, let's be honest, you're super irrational and you think like, this is going to last forever. But I think anyone, when they're rational, you know, not in a relationship, they know that that's not the case.
And some people who are more, I guess, mature and more in tune with their emotions and what makes them happy can spot that quicker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay.
Yeah. You'll probably notice yourself going into that thought process quicker.
Yeah.
But like what I think would be a fantastic relationship is actually going back to what you were saying, someone with whom you can grow, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's like, hey, this is where I am in life.
Yeah.
I want to grow into this other person. Like this is, you know, cause we never stop growing. Right.
Yeah. No.
You know, this is who the person I want to become. Obviously I'm assuming that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have someone that supports you in that. And then your partner wants to go in this way, and then you're there to support her. And I feel like that you develop like mutual respect, and you develop mutual affection because you see this person's vulnerabilities, you see this person grow.
Yeah.
And I feel like most people would actually prefer that kind of relationship. You know, if you went to most university students and you gave them time to think about, but you offer them two relationships. Here's one relationship where you can completely express yourself, 100%. You can be completely vulnerable. You can try to grow, try your best, and this person will always be there to support you, to help you, not to like carry you on their back.
No.
You know, you don't want to become a burden.
Yeah.
You're still your own person.
Yeah.
You know, I think you should never be in a relationship where you like piggyback on the person, but
right.
but that person is there to like to be there, not to hold you up, but to be there for you. You know, I think people would love that kind of relationship. Instead, if I told you, how about someone that is incredibly passionate, you know, filled with love, but you know, there's like fear in there, you know, because passion is like it's a melting pot of extreme emotions, you know. I don't think passion is not like it's just love, you know, it's jealousy, it's anger, it's stuff. There's like it's variant, you know. I'm assuming that's the whole kind of idea behind passion,
right,
you know.
Right.
And when you watch movies or read about stuff with passion, it's always there's a reason they talk about fire, you know. It's intense, but it's scary. It's I love it, but I don't love it. It's so dangerous, but so tantalizing, you know. And I feel like, yeah, people like romantically would love that, you know. Yeah. I feel like when you're in a certain mood, you'd be like, of course I want that. But yeah, like when you're level-headed, you're rational, you're like, you know, calm down, take a few breaths, you're like, you know what, I don't want that.
I don't like that. Sounds great for maybe like an hour.
That sounds great, but you know, after a while, you have to dump that Latin lover and get a job. You know,
at the end of the day, I just need somebody
at the end of the day, cuddle. I think, yeah, you just want, you know, life will be hard. I think you just want someone that you can live that life, that go through that life with.
That's true.
And so someone that kind of makes it hard.
That's so true.
You know,
and you hope, but you also hope like you do that to that person.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think most, well, actually I shouldn't say that, but me myself, I know before,
yeah,
I was definitely, I mean, in my relationships, I was definitely like on the more passionate, but burdened side.
Yeah.
Like I became like an emotional leech, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, you know, I mean, the fact that those relationships last for a time clearly shows that at the beginning, you know, the girl had a reason to be in the relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she enjoyed the
something,
that the novelty or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know what? None of those relationships ever last.
Yeah.
And because you can't, those relationships yeah, just by nature, like, you know, after a while, it just gets tiring. It's like, yeah, I love you. God damn it.
God damn it.
God damn it. Go.
Move you know? On.
Jeez.
We know.
You know, every day.
Every day.
You know, yeah. I think at the end of the day, what a stable person wants, and I think we all want to be stable people,
yeah,
is they want another stable person. You know, now, someone who's unstable doesn't want another stable person. Mm. It's probably what they need.
It's probably what they should
get. But now, well, first of all, a stable person wouldn't want to be with an unstable person in the first place. Like one thing that I read, which I thought was amazing,
yeah,
is like, you know, people always talk about how they want to marry the perfect person. I was like, well, guess what? The perfect person would never marry you. Which is so true.
It's such a good point.
It's like, look at you piece of trash. You want to get the perfect human being?
Get your life together.
If she was perfect, she would see you and be like,
you know.
There are better guys out there.
So many better guys.
Instead, what this person said,
yeah,
was marry someone who is at the same point in life that you are.
Really?
Who's just as messed up.
Okay.
Who's just as unstable. Because two reasons. One, you won't resent each other.
Yeah.
Because if that person is way better than you, you will resent that person.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I agree.
In the sense that...
It's like, I can't be healthy.
Yeah. And guess what? If you're better than that person, you'll resent her.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're holding me back. Or she'll resent you. It's not going to be healthy. Whereas in your same position, you're like, well, we both can't get anyone else. This is the, you know, let's help each other out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's work with each other out.
And it's like, I don't think, it's like being stable. I think that's such a, something that I know, I like, I know I need to work on. Because I know, especially in the beginning, in a relationship, I know like I'm already like, just on default, just type A personality.
Well, I think naturally you're more of an extrovert kind of person, which obviously isn't a bad thing.
No, but I think it can be. I think it's just to any human, I think it come up pretty strong. So I think I have to work on just being aware of that.
I think every guy's like that. I mean, you know, if there's a guy who comes to me and says like, yeah, you know, my first few relationships, I was totally suave, stand backish. Then first of all, that guy is probably lying to you, or like, you know, no, you know, okay, obviously, yeah, probably shouldn't generalize, no, but I think as a general rule, you know, most guys, you know, when you're young, especially us, like we've been really focused, on different things. So we never really had the chance to develop relationships, you know? Like, I mean, when we were young, we could never, like, we never hung out with anyone from school, mainly because we were always busy with something, you know? So we couldn't, we never went to birthday parties when we were young because we were never like free on weekends. You know, we were just never around. We never really got a chance to develop friendships, to hang out with people, to go anywhere, you know, with anyone. So for us, we're kind of like late to the game, you know, whereas most people, like, your life is at school. So once school is done, you still hang out with people in school. You develop those relationships and you start developing relationships and these kind of stuff, you know, early on.
You mature quicker.
We only started to think, you know, develop relationships like in university. And that is, because like, when we're young, we just never had the option, you know? So for us, we're late to the game, and obviously, like, you know, practice makes perfect, and we've had a little practice. So, but I think anyone, when they start off, you know, I never had my first relationship until I was, you know, like out, literally out of high school. So the first time, like, you're like, oh my God, is this love? You know, I mean, come on, you know, we're guys. We don't know. We're like females. You know what I mean? I mean, we're ridiculous. We're literally ridiculous. Half the time, I even understand why women are interested in this.
That's so true.
Like, I look at myself and I look at most guys, you know? I mean, the only guys that are, like, really impressive to me, first of all, are, like, in books or on TV or they're fake, you know? But most guys, like, when you talk to these guys at university, you're like, gee, listen to you. Look at you. Look at your room. Look at your school. Look at your life. Who would want to date you?
Yeah, but
you know what? There's always someone out there. But yeah, so I think it's normal for a guy, like, you know, to be, like, really head over heels. You know, it's natural. And I think as you go through, like, many relationships, you know, that's when you realize, okay, clearly, you know, I'm not going to act like this. Or you probably lose interest, you know? You've tried out so many times that you're not head over heels anymore. You're like, you're just another girl to me.
And then
it's like, it's like, you know, I enjoy being with you. But, like, you know, I mean, for me, and I think for most people, first relationships, it's not like, huh, I enjoy being with you. We should spend more time together. It's no, it's hey, I love you. You know, that's usually how it is. And that's usually how the emotions are in your head, too. Yeah, you know, you're so, like, smitten and, like, overcome by this person, you know?
Yeah.
And then obviously with time, you realize, like, you know, when that emotion comes up, you're like, oh, calm down there, boy. We've seen this before, you know?
This doesn't play out good for you. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's just a normal thing. So I don't think it's not obviously every guy is different. So, but I think that emotion, guys might express it differently, you know, depending on your state, if you're introvert. But I think everyone does, every guy does feel that at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, you've been in the dating game for 10 years. You're like, you know, it becomes like a mundane routine kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then one day you're like, oh my God, wow.
Wow.
Now this is something, you know?
That was interesting. Yeah.
You know, exactly. But I think that's not, as a general rule, that doesn't really, you know, happen at first. That's kind of a thing that just happens with practice. Yeah. So.
But then you have, you know, I just came up in my head. Like, we have a family member's uncle came all the time.
Oh yeah,
high school sweethearts met in high school, not university.
They started dating in high school and then they got married when they graduated.
I don't know.
I think so.
And now they're still together after.
They seem like an amazing.
They seem like an amazing couple.
Like, that's amazing.
Like, you just every time I'm with them, it's like, wow, this is amazing couple.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, damn it, you know, it's like how.
Yeah, that I don't know. That's a hard egg to crack. unless they were just who knows. That's different. That's complicated because that probably means they were like their first relationship.
That was probably their first relationship. Yeah,
and they're still married. Like, what are the
and they're happily. It's not like they're missed. Like, they have two kids.
They have
Who they have grandkids.
They have grandkids.
It's like, and it's like a great,
that's crazy.
They're a great team. Like,
yeah.
It's always so fun. It's you never get awkward.
Absolutely amazing. I mean,
they don't even have arguments.
Okay, well, we don't know about that. I'm sure they have arguments.
I'm sure they have arguments, but like when we're
Let's just say when you're with this couple, it's amazing.
It's a great time.
It's a trip you always look for.
Yeah, exactly. Just to be around with them,
which I think shows. I don't think anyone can fake that. No, I don't think you can hate each other, and then as soon as someone comes in, seem like you're the greatest couple ever. I think that's impossible.
Impressive, but
highly unlikely. Who knows? Honestly, that I'm not even gonna.
It's too hard to unpack.
Let's not even try to get into that.
Yeah.
You know, because that I obviously, I mean, good for them.
Yeah, that's, I know. Amazing. Like that's
anyone who can have that is amazing.
That must be so great. You know, you don't have to worry about.
I'm sure it was hard. I'm sure there's a lot of doubt. Maybe there wasn't. I don't know. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Because you don't want to be in a position either. It's like, you know, I never dated anyone else. Maybe I like someone else.
Yeah, that's my
fears. I don't think you want to be in that position. Now, maybe for either of them, there's never like, no, that never had that time in my life. You know, might be true. I don't know. But that's a whole different
thing. Yeah, because that's one. I think I always remember it's like, one of the things is like part. It's like I just meet people, just go on dates, and because that kind of helps you. You kind of go by through an elimination process. Like, oh, like this is things that I really like in a person. This is why I don't like.
I mean, yeah, don't forget there are literally like what 8 billion people here. I mean,
I think
third time the charm doesn't apply anymore when there's 8 billion people. I don't think anyone says like, yeah, 8 billion, you know, try 5 people. That gives you a good sample and you'll know.
Yeah.
Now, I also, because I'm like, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I'm big into like meditation and that whole aspect of things.
Yeah.
So I think that changes things for me because I feel like if you live in a purely materialistic world and your worldview is purely materialistic, then that's different, you know, because there really are 8 billion people out there that you possibly might really hit it off with.
What are you saying, there's ghosts now?
No. But if you believe in like a spiritual aspect of being and like soul and stuff like that, then it might be easier to think, and especially, you know, the whole idea that, you know, people come to Earth to develop themselves, develop their souls. Then I feel like if that's your belief, it's a lot easier to think of marriage in the sense that you're surrounding yourself with people that help you on your like life's journey.
Sure.
And that there actually is someone out there that can help you with that life journey. So it's not like you're like looking through 8 million people. It's like you're just like figuring out like, you know, there really is someone out there that if like you really got in tune with yourself, you actually would really help each other in that purpose.
Yeah, but you gotta leave hope for the rest of the, you know, people that just, okay, what if you're not meditation?
No, but obviously, well, here's the thing. The thing with it, it's not like there's a whole world out there that only applies to you if you meditate. It's like, you know, you were going to be immortal and you were going to have this, but you didn't meditate.
Sorry.
You're going to die now and that's it. I really get good luck next time, but oh wait, there is no next time. You know, obviously that's not the case. I mean, the whole point is because I do believe in this stuff. The whole idea is everyone's soul comes to Earth to develop and to develop itself. Right. And so that means everyone literally has other people in the world that will come to you at some point in your life, you know, not purely by random, but like, you know, some of them, and will help you on that journey.
Yeah.
So it's not like you need, meditation is more like a way to be more in tune with that.
Sure.
But it's not like it doesn't, it still happens to you, you know, whether you believe in meditation or not. Obviously, I mean, if you don't believe in any of this and you believe like we live in a purely materialistic world, well, guess what? That's not true. Your soulmate is still out there, buddy. I know you don't want to admit it. That would be so funny to go to like a purely materialistic person and be like, oh, you think you have no soul? Think again, buddy, you're never gonna die. You think death is the end? Oh, you fool. You're gonna do this again. No. But that's a whole different thing. But, you know, I mean, you believe what you believe. If it's like a purely materialistic thing, then, well, I guess even if you do meditate, I mean, I still believe that you need to go out there and practice. You know, I don't believe, even though I believe in this stuff, I don't believe you just sit in a chair and then the love of your life will just walk in your house.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I think anyone who believes that or tells you believe that is full of yoga shit. And it's into new age stuff. You know, I think everyone knows that if you have a good relationship, you have to go out there, go through a lot of relationships, put a lot of effort, put a lot of practice, a lot of
attempts. You have to try. It doesn't know if it's a love. Maybe you'll just meet the one right away.
Maybe we'll be right away. But, you know, I think as a general rule, we can all accept that it does take a lot of work.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But, you know, it doesn't hurt to believe like, well, but there is that little 1% where, now, I think at the end of the day, if you don't believe in the whole meditation stuff, that's probably good for you. You know, because then you'll probably put more work into it. Because I feel like that's a negative of a lot of people who aren't into meditation, is they believe they don't have to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, once I meditate, I'm, you know, in the flow with the world and the world just happens for my best life, which I think is not true at all.
Right.
I think 99% of your life is still down to you and like your hands and what you do, you know? But I guess, you know, it doesn't really matter. But I'm just saying, it was just something I want to add.
No, I like that. You know, it's a great point.
For that one person who.
No, I like how we have different perspectives on that. Yeah. It's interesting. But yeah, no, I think that was fun.
Yeah, no, I think that was great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you changed the subject to marriage. This turned out to be a lot more fun.
That was a fun conversation.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, no.
All right.
A little bit of everything. Okay, awesome.
All right, well, we hope you guys have a good day. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. I don't know, maybe you thought of a few things that were interesting. But yeah, we hope you have a good day and have a great week, guys. Yep. So that's the, you already know that was the Ultra Bros. And have a good day, everyone. See ya.
All right.